with all your needs, search through the many Bible-based resources on our website. Again, that's intouch.org. I hope you'll join us again next week as we learn more about the God we can count on. That's Monday on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. I got Paul over here just shaking his head this morning. So we are thankful that you have tuned in to the Refresh Radio program. And we're going to spend the next half hour. We're going to be talking about the Word of God and the real life application of what it has for us, especially right now. I want you to know that I have been going through this series strategically from what, I felt impressed by the Lord. I didn't share every verse to get to such a time as this. And I want you to know that the past few weeks have not caught God by surprise. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. I do want to let you know about, first of all, about Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you have an electrical issue, a heating or air conditioning issue anywhere in Brevard County, call them, especially if we're going to be spending more time at home. You want to be comfortable. And the only way that really gets to take place is if your air conditioning can handle the load of what you're facing at this point in time. So give the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. You will be so glad when they get you back up and running that you listen to this radio program and you heard about them. They've been in business a long time right here in Rockledge, Florida, and they're not going anyplace anytime soon. So give them a call so they can come out and give you a quote on solving your problem. So that's out of the way. Second, do want to let you know, in case you have not heard, that due to the guidelines and all of that, that the Space Coast City Fest has been postponed until next year. So if you were planning on going to that, and I know we talked about it, planned for distributed signs and tickets and all of that sort of stuff, and then because of safety issues, that has had to be rescheduled for next year. So we'll just believe God for even greater things next year. Now, Sunday, we're still going to, as of right now, we're still going to try and have our staff meeting on Sunday. Everybody who does the work of the ministry, we're going to be gathering strategically and so as to not violate any guidelines or anything like that. We'll be positioning ourselves accordingly. But we are going to cancel the potluck dinner that we had that was going to be scheduled. We'll save that for another time. So, by the way, do be praying for your pastor. Be praying for me. Someone posted something on one of my ministers' Facebook pages, and it said, pray for your pastor. He's never pastored through a worldwide pandemic before. And man, is it an interesting scenario. There are things we never even thought about having to discuss in Bible college. And so do be praying for your pastor. It will be greatly appreciated. I want you to know Merit Assembly of God is here for you. If you need us, give us a call, 321-454-4263, 321-454-4263. You can email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. If you have a prayer request, we would love to pray for you. Jesus is greater than the coronavirus, and we're in very, very wonderful shape, and we're going to believe that God turns this attack around for something good. So I want to take you to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. If you have been listening to this program for any length of time, you have probably gotten to the point, say, is he ever going to get off this bandwagon of preaching about God deliver us from evil? Well, the answer to that is yes, but it's not today. And so I have been working through this material, and sometimes it seems to move quickly and sometimes not so quickly. And today we find ourselves in Psalm 34, verse number 17. And it says there, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So we have talked about a number of things. In Psalm 33, David writes that God would deliver his soul from death. We've talked about that he delivers us from all our fears. And verse number 7 of Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord surrounds those that fear him and delivers them. And so now we find ourselves here at verse number 17, and it says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. I know that we've talked about this an awful lot. We've talked about it before in this passage, but that is this. We, the people of God, need to be people of prayer. Not praying out of fear, praying out of faith, because we have a loving Heavenly Father, an omnipotent Heavenly Father. It truly is, you know, back to grade school, well, my dad is bigger than your dad. Our Heavenly Father is greater than the adversary that we faced. His solutions are more than adequate for the problems that we might deal with. And so whenever we cry out to him, it is not a begging, if you will. It is an invitation. It is a communication that is born out of relationship, covenant relationship, where we say, God, we have right standing before you because of the work that Jesus Christ did upon the cross. He restored us to right standing, and we appeal to the throne room of heaven. We appeal to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Would you hear our case? Every year, there are numerous cases that are appealed from one level of courtroom to another level of courtroom, and the ultimate appeal here in America is that they appeal it to the Supreme Court. And all along that journey, which is a very expensive journey, by the way, it costs millions and millions of dollars to be able to get a case to the Supreme Court. And so they appeal that. And at any given point in time, the judge can look at that case and say, I am refusing to hear this case on the merits of the case. We don't see anything wrong with the decision that was made at the lower court level. And at that point in time, if it's an appeal to the Supreme Court, there is no further appeal. The judgment that was already in place stands because the court refused to hear the appeal. And there have been many unjust verdicts that have been made by the courts in the past, and the court sometimes allows those things to stand. And it leaves me scratching my head at times and say, how in the world did they get to that point? We never have to worry about that with God. You never have to worry about whether God is going to tell you that your case is not worth his time. He loves you. And he's never going to make a wrong verdict. I remember when I worked in a factory in my college years, and I wasn't a minister yet, but I was telling people about Jesus. And one of the guys that I worked with said, I tell you what, when I die and I get to heaven, I'm going to explain to God exactly what it was like down here. And the implication of that statement was that this life is an unjust life, that things that go on are not right, and God's completely oblivious and unaware of the fact. And so there are things that continue to take place. And so what he needs is somebody to come along and explain it to him. How absurd. It's absolutely ludicrous to think that a God who knows everything would not be able to be aware of the situations that you've got going on in your life. So it says the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And again, that word is to snatch. He snatches them out of all of their troubles, all of their predicaments. It goes on and it means all of their distresses, delivers them from any rival that they might have, removes from them from any adversity that they might have, any anguish they may be going through, and any affliction that they may be facing. So I want you to understand that if you are going through a difficult season, and right now America and the rest of the world is going through an extremely difficult season, that God is the one who can deliver us. Thank God for technological breakthroughs, and thank God for scientists and electron microscopes that can see further than we could ever see with our naked eye, and see things that, you know, if we didn't have that powered vision, we would never be able to identify the things that are going on. You know what? Every time they look into space, no matter how far out there, they are continually amazed at the nature and the complexity of the universe. The same thing happens whenever they look into the very heart of a cell. Whenever they look, and you'll see different pictures of what a coronavirus looks like and all of that sort of stuff. But one thing that you see, there's complexities. And then they figure out, well, okay, how does this have bearing upon this over here? God is God at the micro level. He's God at our level, and he's God at the macro level. He's God of the cell, he's God of our body, and he's God of the universe. It doesn't matter what realm your troubles may fall in, whether it's emotional, whether it is interpersonal, whether it is just someone who's standing in opposition to you, whether it's a sickness or a disease, or whether you're just dealing with an overwhelming sense of grief or sorrow or heartache or pain, God is able to deliver you and I. And it doesn't say that he might. It says the righteous cry out and the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. That's what happens. So wouldn't it make sense that we would be praying more, especially during a season of adversity, inviting God to be actively involved in the situation with which we're dealing so that we could see the ultimate victory? Verse number 18 says this, The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. And so you and I, if we are humbled by the predicaments that we find ourselves in, we don't have to be ashamed of that. We need to realize that anything that impacts us is going to impact the God who loves us. The same way as I'm thinking of a sense of an incident right now where I watched one of my kids be overwhelmed with grief at a loss. And I found myself overcome by the sense of that loss simply because I love my kids. Now they're all adults now. I thank God for each and every one of them. I thank God for their successes. But I know that whenever they are going through a situation that is not just touching them superficially, but is touching them at the very core of their being and is impacting their spirit, they're going to find that God is coming to the rescue. He's not going to be a God who is far away. He is going to be a God who is very, very near. Praise the Lord for that. Now, this is a refresh program. If you came to have fear instilled into you, you've tuned into the wrong station. You still got, about 12 minutes that you could go and find another program and come back if you're looking for something else. But if you're here and you're looking for faith, we're going to instill faith in the Lord God Almighty. That's what we're here to do. I'm not just here to talk about theory. I'm here to talk about very practical day-to-day dominion of God in your life and in my life. So let's look at verse number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Drop down to verse number 22. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. There used to be a philosophy, it was an erroneous philosophy, that if you gave your heart to Jesus, you were never going to have any problems. That, man, you were never going to face any adversity. You were never going to deal with sickness or financial issues. You weren't going to have any home issues. I mean, it was just going to be peaches and cream all of the time. Now, I prefer strawberries and cream over peaches and cream, but, we're in the South, so whatever you prefer. But the Bible never says that. In fact, it says that when it comes to afflictions, that the righteous, those who are in right standing with God, you can expect that you are going to face a multitude, many afflictions. You say, well, what does that look like? That word affliction here, it's different than the word trouble up in verse number 17. This word means natural or moral evils. Many are the natural or moral evils that confront the righteous. So we live in a fallen world. So there are evils that come about because we live in a fallen world where instead of having a Garden of Eden type of perfection that we could thrive in, we instead live in a fallen world where spiritual compromise was made, spiritual failings took place, spiritual authority was yielded to an enemy that does not look out for our best interest, and we find problems. We find afflictions. We find all sorts of evil. So you can have bad things happen to you and say, why did this happen? Well, you live in a fallen world. That is just a natural, if I can use this term, pain in the neck. It is just a natural inconvenience. It's a natural disaster that takes place in our lives. It's natural because it's nature to this world. But it's not natural for the kingdom of heaven where we are going to go and spend forever and ever. I thank God when we get to experience the divine realities of heaven in our life right now. But remember, we still live in a fallen world. My hair is still not the color that it used to be. My brain thinks that it's still able to do all of the things that I was able to do in high school, and that I can hit a golf ball as far as I could back then. And actually, as far as driving goes, I can. Most of my clubs, I'm still pretty close. But there are other things that I used to be able to do, and I couldn't. I can't do them anymore because my physical mortal body has not been clothed with immortality or incorruptibility yet. There are also moral evils that we experience because people who were created to be moral individuals choose to live amoral or immoral lives. They make bad decisions. I cannot believe that people still make bad decisions. Oh, wait a minute. We've all made bad decisions. But there are some people who take those bad decisions, those amoral, those immoral decisions to a whole nother level, and they don't care if you get hurt in the process. So we live on a planet with 7+ billion people on it, and many of them are not righteous, but they're unrighteous. Therefore, they are going to operate from a different operating system than what you and I do. So, in fact, the Bible says they think it's strange when you do not do the same things that they do. And guess what? We're supposed to find it a little unusual that they don't want to do things the way that God's Word says. There should be a natural friction there that takes place because one is supernaturally living by a supernatural standard, and one is living by a natural or moral evil. And you and I, we're going to be confronted with that. I just want to say, don't conform to that. You can be confronted with it, but don't conform to it. Be victorious over it. Allow God to transform you. And it says that the Lord delivers him out of them all. And again, there's that word snatch. I am so glad that when the enemy thinks that he's got you isolated, when he's got you surrounded, and you don't have any way of escape, that he has failed to factor in the God equation. Verse number 20 says, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Now, I want you to remember, this is talking about Jesus here on the cross. This is one of those messianic passages of Scripture where, they would have come and broken his legs while he was on the cross, but instead they took a spear and thrust it up into his heart, and blood and water spilled out. Well, you and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And I don't necessarily want a spear. I don't want a spear thrust in between my ribs to pierce my heart. I don't want that to happen. But I do want the God who protected that lifeless body of Jesus to fulfill Scripture. I want him operating with that same level of protection in my life so that the Word of God comes to pass as well. Let's stand on the Word of God. Let's stand on, I sought the Lord. He heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Let's stand on the promise that the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Let's stand on the promise the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Let's stand on many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. God's able to make sure that he prevails in every situation in our life. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. Now, in these last two verses here, there's one of two ways that you can go. There's not three ways, there's not four ways, There's not 1,000 ways. There's 2 ways that you can go. Okay? Look at the end word of verse number 21 and the end word of verse number 22. It is condemned. Condemned. It's a word that means held guilty. Okay? So how do you get to the verdict? Well, it says, evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. There are a lot of people, they are not ambivalent to the church. They're not apathetic to the church. They are hostile to the church. And so when those people tell me that they're hostile towards people of faith, I believe them. I believe them. I don't try and rationalize away, explain it away, or say, oh, well, that's just a campaign promise. I believe them when they say that. When it says that evil shall slay the wicked, I believe that those who do the things that God has told them not to do, that it's not a lifestyle to them. It is a death style. I look in it and it says, and those who hate the righteous, they shall be condemned. They shall be held guilty. God does not want you to do that. It says, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. None of those shall be held guilty. It's interesting. It's a paradox in God's courtroom that those who have done evil will stand before the judge and they will plead not guilty, even though they've got a lifestyle of evidence, a lifetime of evidence that has been amassed against them. They will... They will still get up there and plead guilty. I never understand criminals who were caught in the act with 14,000 eyewitnesses and all sorts of evidence, and then there's a video camera that supports it all, and they will come into a courtroom, and then they will say this, I'm not guilty. Well, you know what? You are guilty. And so verse number 22 describes the opposite effect, and that is the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. Those people who have been redeemed, you and I, we have a lifestyle of service. It is not a death style, it is a lifestyle. We have the privilege of partnering with him to do great and mighty things for the glory of God. None of those, can I say this today? In the last minute and some odd seconds, none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. When we've asked Jesus to forgive us our sins, we're not saying we didn't do it. We did it. We're just throwing ourselves on the mercy of the Father and saying, Father, would you please forgive me of my sins? Jesus shed his blood so that I could be forgiven. I'm guilty. Would you forgive me? And would you empower me so that I don't ever make this mistake again? And God hits the gavel and says, not guilty. Not condemned. Not separated from his presence. God is right there near to you. I encourage you to have a victorious week, a great weekend. I pray that you'll pay attention to our website. Keep up to date on what's going on. Hey, we've got a great week coming up next week. It's the offering here at WMIE, and pray that you'll check into that. And we'll see you Monday, or we'll see you sooner, whichever you prefer.
Thank God bless. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.